iRockRadio.me. This is Jay Hunter. I am at the Folklore Coffee House at the square of a little tiny town, corner of the world, in Pennsylvania called Elizabethtown. Appropriately, it's actually the birthplace of the band of the singer who's sitting with me right now. I'm sitting with Danny Case of the band From Ashes to New. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely.
You're from Rochester.
Yeah, Rochester, New York.
Congratulations on the new album with you guys, 11-7 Music, called The Future.
Yes. Yeah, that's out now. It came out on April 20th.
So you've been with the band now for about a year.
Yeah.
Okay. So a year ago, you've had quite a year.
But
a year ago today, what was your plan for your life? Because you obviously weren't thinking of this.
Well, a year ago today, I actually was already pretty much confirmed for the band.
Okay, well then let's go back about year and a month.
about a year and a month or a year and 2 months. Matt first messaged me, because he actually reached out to me in mid-February because he had found a video that I had put up on YouTube because he was scouring the internet for someone who could sing for the band.
Okay.
And he actually reached out to me on Facebook and asked me to do a couple of songs and submit them, which I ended up doing. And then he also, you know, let me know that there was still going to be a public audition, so to put mine up as well. They were going to look at all their options and everything like that. So I was in talks with the band at first, but I was in another band at the time that was kind of just it wasn't really going anywhere. I mean, I had been working on it for 9 years. I was in that band.
So your life plan, though, was still to be in a band.
Absolutely.
It was just a different band at the time.
It was the only plan I ever had. Will Smith has said himself, if you got a plan B, your plan A is not going to work out.
Okay. That's what I was kind of getting at. Was, okay, well, was he working at a different career and going, you know, finishing college and doing this?
I was working about 50 hours a week in a restaurant to support the band's functions because we didn't have any kind of support in any way.
You were the stereotypical starving musician.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ouch. Pretty much every penny I was making was going back into the band. You know, I didn't have nice shoes. My shoes were getting worn to the ground. And
now,
you know,
they're squeaky clean.
Oh, yeah, now they're squeaky
them.
Clean. I just got these, yeah. But, yeah, I was just working simply to keep the band going, to push it as far as it possibly could go. And even though it didn't work out in the end, you know, it was everything that I needed to prepare myself for this band.
Okay, so you had the plan,
yeah.
And that's what you were working towards the whole time.
Right.
When did you first decide that this is what you wanted to do? What was that shining moment when you said, you know what, fuck that, I want to do what I want to do, I want to sing?
Right. You know, probably when I was a young teenager. I started playing drums when I was 12.
Okay.
And I saw a friend of mine at a talent show play drums, and he was a phenomenal drummer. Like, not just some kid bashing on some drums. He was really, really, really good. And honestly, I was just like, man, I have to do that. And so I still play drums to this day. I've been playing more than half my life now. But, you know, I wanted to make music. And I was, as a drummer, I was like, well, shit, I can't really make music with just drums. So I picked up bass. I picked up a guitar after that. And then I met some guys who had a band, and they needed a singer. So I was like, I mean, I can't, like, I'm not a singer per se, but I, you know, I can hold a note, and I could write some lyrics. So I decided to join that band because all I ever wanted to do was be in a band and play music. So it was kind of just a natural progression. There wasn't necessarily a moment. It was just something I was always chasing after from the start of playing instruments. And I just kept working at my voice and getting better and slowly sucking less and less. And that was the band that I was in for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I just was kind of I didn't know how to give up. And that was kind of a good and bad characteristic because I burned a lot of money and a lot of time, but it was necessary for me to get to where
right.
I am now, and felt the need to keep going, and I just really did not know how to give up.
So who were your biggest inspirations to get into music as far as singing or drumming or whatever?
Yeah.
Who would you say is your biggest inspiration for getting into the music industry?
Well, to start, my parents, for sure. You know, growing up, I always had music playing in the car, you know, classic rock and roll, everything from the 50s to the 80s. And and that was always a big influence, was my parents. My dad has a CD collection of over like 1,200 CDs, 1,500 CDs, something like that. And so they were the ones who really kind of instilled the love of music into me. And then once I started playing, you know, musical instruments, I was listening to like Red Hot Chili Peppers, Green Day, Linkin Park. And then as that kind of progressed, I started to listen to some more heavier stuff. And I got into like Breaking Benjamin and then Avenged Sevenfold. So those are two really big influences of mine, were Avenged Sevenfold for sure. I listened to them for a solid 6 years, like hardcore.
Would you say then, okay, so you would say Avenged they were Sevenfold probably your biggest big influence?
One. Yeah, one of the biggest ones. I haven't really listened to them too recently. Nowadays I'm kind of more into like the band Paris.
Okay.
And Bruno Mars I'm really into. He's incredible musician. And
he is. I'm not going to take that away from him. Absolutely not.
His new album was very different. It was very different. I kind of hoped he would continue with the stuff that he had on Unorthodox Jukebox, his last album. But, you know, being a musician myself, I understand like the want to change, do something new and evolve and stuff like that. But my tastes are all over the place. My inspirations are, you know, bands like Avenged Sevenfold. Linkin Park, obviously, was one of the first bands I drummed to, along with Green Day.
It helps to be versatile.
Yeah, and as a vocalist, one of my biggest inspirations is Spencer from Periphery. He's just a phenomenal vocalist, metal vocalist. He's got an incredible vocal range and a very diverse style of screaming. So I've always look to him to try to better myself. That's kind of what I've always done, is look to a vocalist and try to bring myself up to their level as much as possible, and then find new influences and do the same with them and just try to better myself every day.
We're going to take a break real quick. Out of all of your influences, would you pick one artist, one song?
Man, one song. That is tough.
I know. Well, we'll have to have you come back. You and Matt could be guest DJs then sometime.
Oh, yeah. That would be really fun. I'm sure we could do that. I would have to go with... I'm going to go with a really weird one because I loved the drums in it, and that's Tension by Avenged Sevenfold.
All right. We are here with Danny Case of From Ashes to New on iRockRadio.me. Here's his pick out of his influences, Avenged Sevenfold. iRockRadio.me, we are back with Danny Case of the band From Ashes to New. We just heard one of your influences with Avenged Sevenfold. We were talking a lot about your background.
Yeah.
Auditioned for the band. Matt sought you out, saw some videos. We'll kind of fast forward through the process, but all of a sudden, you're our man.
Right.
You're our man. We want you. What is going through your head at that point?
Man, I don't even know. It was really surreal. Because I had seen the band once. My old band grinded pretty freaking hard. We followed Warped Tour 2 years in a row, selling CDs in the lines every single day, 7 a.m. until like 2 p.m. It was just go up and talk to as many people as possible, sell as many CDs as possible, and get our name out there. And we would sneak into Warped Tour for free monsters. And and so you kind of just like walk in, kind of like you belong there. And a lot of the times you can just walk in. Don't take my advice, by the way.
No.
This is just not what we did. I wouldn't advise it.
Although it's the last year for the Warped Tour anyway.
Yeah, it is. So if there's any year that you're going to try it, kicked out.
Don't get caught.
So I was standing in line waiting at the monster truck. They have that like lounge area where you can go up in the truck and and drink a free monster. And this band came on, and it was From Ashes to New. And I was like, wow, this is really different for Warped Tour. It wasn't so different that it didn't belong or that it was weird, but it was definitely a different take on what Warped Tour had to offer, and I thought it was really cool. And so when I got the message from Matt, I was like, holy crap, that's that band that was at Warped Tour. I was like, that's crazy. Yeah. So going through the whole process, like, there was a lot of points in time where they were like, you know, we really like your voice and what you have to offer and your work ethic and all that, but we're still not sure. And it was like weeks and weeks and weeks where I was like, well, we're like 90% sure, but we have a couple we're waiting on. They're like, oh, we're pretty sure you're a guy, but we're waiting on this other audition. I was like, oh my god. It just felt like forever. But once it was kind of confirmed, it was just like, I was like, holy crap, here we go.
Reality set in right away, or were you kind of still like flying high?
I don't know. I was just kind of taking it day by day. It was I guess it's funny to say, but I just let the good times roll. So I just roll with the punches and just kind of take things in stride. And it was an awesome feeling. I was just staying open and trying to stay positive and, you know, just taking it day by day. It was just really awesome.
Once they choose you, and obviously you get back, you get together with the guys and you yep. kind of like getting to know each other and everything. You do a bit of practicing, I would assume.
We didn't really practice. We kind of went right into writing mode.
Okay, because that was going to be my question then. After a bit of practicing, what's the process? But you went straight into writing.
Yeah, I specifically came down to start writing for the album.
So were any of the songs for this album already written and kind of like waiting for the missing element? Or were you...
There were a couple of songs that were like, I would say 75% of the way done. Like the one song off our new album, Forgotten, Matt and Lance had written together, and they had the first verse and the first chorus and most of the instrumentals. They didn't have a bridge, and they didn't have a second verse, which I helped write. That was probably one of the most complete songs. And then there was another song, Let Go, which Lance wrote entirely. Okay. So I only changed like... I flip-flopped two lines and then changed a note in the chorus and then like wrote something different for like the kind of ending of the chorus before the tagline, but that was pretty much it. So that song was like done. Those are the two that were like the most complete.
Okay.
Everything else I pretty much helped write in every way I possibly could and gave my input. So I kind of hopped right into it, and I was like, all right, you know, I'm just gonna voice every idea that I have. And everyone kind of weighed on it, and it was either, you know, for it or against it. So it was really cool. It's a really democratic process.
One thing I thought was really cool was before the album was released, you guys were doing like through social media, through the lyric videos. It was almost like you were releasing a song a day, and yeah. I thought that was really cool that you were kind of like luring people in.
Yeah, that was our label's plan, and it worked really well, I think, because we. We had a few songs that we ended up not putting on the album, which hopefully will be released with the rest of the album later on. But what we did was we released, you know, like two songs or three songs and then one of the B-sides or two of the B-sides. And I think we did that three times so that way we could release five songs or six songs.
Yeah.
And then there would still be five that would be saved for the album.
So you guys were... pretty much done writing the album, and then all of a sudden there was a need for another song. So Crazy was the last song that you guys wrote.
Yeah, we wrote it in literally less than a day and recorded it.
How does that even come about that you finish writing a song right when you're ready to record it?
we didn't have any other option. It was kind of like, well, whatever we write is what we're going to have to record, so hopefully it's something good, because we were really reaching a deadline. We had gone to New York to write with someone, and then we had gone out to L.A. to write with someone, and that ended up being Nowhere to Run. So that one ended up being on the album in place of another song. And then we kind of came back to Pennsylvania, and we still hadn't really delivered the song that the label was really looking for to kind of like complete the album. And so we were like, all right, let's just get together with our producer that worked with us on the album, and we had written kind of like half a song the night before that we were supposed to go and record, and it was in a specific tempo and a specific key. And then we were like, man, we don't really know if this is it, but hopefully this works. We'll just see what we make tomorrow. And we went in. First thing our producer said was like, hey, so I was humming this idea for a chorus while I was on my way into the studio, and it's in this tempo and it's this key. And I was like, holy crap, that's the same tempo and key that we were writing a song for last night. And so we listened to it and we were like, we need to combine these two. And that's what made Crazy.
All right.
It was the most insane process I've ever been a part of.
It was crazy.
Yeah, right? It was crazy. It was absolutely insane. So we had all that down, and then we just recorded it and that day, and then it was done.
All right, let's take a listen to it right now. This is Crazy, the debut single off of their latest CD, The Future. We're talking to Danny Kaye from Ashes to New on iRockRadio.me. Debut single from the latest CD, From Ashes to New. That is Crazy on iRockRadio.me. It's Jay Hunter along with Danny Kaye, the singer of From Ashes to New. Again, thank you very much for taking the time to have some coffee and smoothie.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
The album is done, and it's already out.
Yeah.
You put it out on April 20th.
Yes. That yeah. wasn't even, that was just like what, that was the date the label came up with. We were like, oh boy, we're never going to hear the end of
that's
this. We're
all
like,
right.
Well, we might as well play into it.
Aside from the songs on the album, you did have some other stuff that was prepared. You came out with a cover song for the Black Panther soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah. Pray for me. That was really fun. That was cool. What? There was going to be a music video, but someone's camp decided they didn't want to let us do it. So, and we got clearance for the most part, like after we had finished it all, and we were just waiting on, because you have to have like licensing,
right.
for you know to release music from another artist. So we had most of the clearance completely done, but. There was one small portion of it that they just didn't want to cooperate, and I'm not going to say whose camp it was or who was involved, but they didn't want to let us do it, which really sucked. So we only released the song, because the video was really cool, but we just released the song.
But the one thing, and I'll tell you, the best way to really find out everything about From Ashes to New isn't through interviews, isn't through articles. It's actually to follow you guys on your social media, because you guys have an insane amount of followers already on your social media, your Facebooks, your Twitters, your Instagrams. And
yeah.
you're one of those bands, I'd say probably one of the most active bands on your social medias.
Yeah,
you take the time
really put ourselves out there.
to not just you know type answers to different people, but you go live on your videos and you're constantly talking to your fans, to the point where when you first joined it was a while ago anyway, we even saw you getting a tattoo on your
Yeah,
so I mean, you have quite the collection already. But what did you get, and what inspired like going live with getting the tattoo? Because that was when people were first getting to know you.
Yeah, that was kind of set up by our label and Inked Magazine, and I believe Revolver Magazine as well. But you know, it was something to kind of do as like promotional material, and I just went and got the band's acronym logo, the FATN logo.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of always wanted to do that with my band, and I just never got around to it when I was in my old band. I was like, well, this is a perfect opportunity to do this, you know, especially because I'm, you know, really in it now.
Right.
And really, you know, shooting for the top with these guys. So I figured that was the best time to brand myself.
And people are also have been tuning in a lot to find out what's been going on and when they're finally going to be able to see you guys out on tour. And now it's finally been released, the different festivals and tours that you're going to be going on. Of course, the tour with Bad Wolves.
Yep.
Very cool. Festivals Rock on the Range. People can get to
Rock
see you
on the Range.
You guys
got to
be excited
Rebellion.
About that one.
Yeah.
What what else is there as far as...
And then there's Northern Invasion. That's the
Northern Invasion.
One. Yeah.
Well, with the amount of festivals that you guys have going on, and then also the tour with Bad Wolves, and I'm sure, you know, once that tour ends, you're already going to be hopping on another one. So you're certainly going to be active, at least throughout the United States. Or
oh, yeah. Yeah, and then hopefully we can get to, like, Canada, and then maybe next year... Maybe even this year. It depends on really what we get, but over to Europe and other places like that.
Before we let you go, something we do during around the end of every interview, just to kind of get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah.
We have some real quick multiple choice questions. They're
cool.
Called Three Quickies and an Afterthought.
All right.
So whatever one comes to your mind first, craft beer or winery?
Winery.
Winery. Transformers or G.I. Joe?
Transformers.
Toilet paper rolled over or under?
Over.
Is it a pet peeve?
Nope.
Okay.
I could really go either way with that one, but because the under looks nice because there's nothing hanging, you know.
Oh,
but the
okay.
over seems more proper.
Gotcha.
So I could go either way, really.
Okay. Last song that was stuck in your head.
I don't know. It's just
not
random every day. It is random every day. I feel like it was an '80s song yesterday. I can't remember it right now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it was the song was like, wake me up before you go, go.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
George
it was,
Michael, wham.
It was stuck
wham.
In my head. Because I was like, man, it must have been nice to be in the 80s and just kind of make cheesy lyrics and it was okay.
Yeah. All right.
Such a good song.
And tell us one thing about yourself that not many people know, including your bandmates.
including my bandmates.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, they're going to listen to this, and they're going to be like, holy shit.
Man, they pretty much know everything about me. I don't know if I... Oh, okay. This is a good one. I mean, it's really not that interesting, but I went to Catholic school when I was a kid. That was an interesting experience, because religion was a class, which seems strange looking back on, but...
Okay.
Yeah, I was a Catholic school
kid. Were you
kid.
A good Catholic student, or were you...
I still am.
Maybe were you getting hit Catholic with the ruler? Part,
but I still am. You know, I have a very guilty conscience. I couldn't steal, you know, like a napkin if I tried. So I still have a very, very true North sense of morality.
Hear that? He's a good boy. He's a good Absolutely. Rock and roller. All right. Danny, thank you very much for coming out and hanging out with us. If we play one other song off of the future, is there one song in particular that has special meaning for you that you'd like to play?
I would go with My Name. Just because those lyrics meant... They really did mean a lot to me. They resonate with me, and it's kind of the style of lyrics I've always written, especially, you know, in my old band. And that was a song that Matt had written a first verse to, and then kind of like he just kind of stopped with it and you know, didn't know what to do with it. And he showed it to me, and I was like, dude, this is the best rap I've ever heard from you. I was like, it's vulnerable, it's honest, like, this is some of the best material you've ever written. And so we went with it, and just the message behind it is just everything that I believe in. You know, there's nothing in this world that you can't do if you put your mind to it. I mean, I've met a painter who lost the function of his entire body, so he learned to paint with his mouth, and he's incredible. It's like there's literally no reason. There's the only thing that's stopping you is yourself.
That's good advice.
So My Name is definitely the one for that.
And now you've experienced some therapy with Dr. Danny Case.
Absolutely.
From Ashes to New. Danny, again, thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
We're going to play that right now. My Name from the Future, off the second album of From Ashes to New with Danny Case on iRockRadio.me.